Welcome to the Joe Customs Podcast.
Do you need a helmet?
Sure. I'd be a terrible moderator. And you can put that on the record.
Are you touching it?
You don't tell me what to do.
I'm P-Love, admin of Joe Customs.
RSCR101AL.
This is Jeff, also known as Joe Mama 70.
And John, known as Zombie Guide.
Billy as Killcar.
And I'm Dan, also known as The Spectre.
Oh boy, it's going to be a jam-packed episode. I can feel it. We're here, we're going to do some interviews with Zombie Guide and Killcar. John and Billy, respectively. And then we're going to talk some Joe Customs Awards. All the other segments are in there, too. So let's get right to it. Zombie God, let's start with you.
Hey.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, I'm hanging in there.
John, you're echoing again.
I'm echoing.
Hey, somebody's echoing.
Well, now I can hear that.
You're going to have to edit that out. We don't accept that kind of language here, dude.
Thanks.
This is a family-friendly site.
You know, Jeff, why don't you take the lead? Just ask some questions, and I'll just kind of echo off in the background.
That sounds terrible.
Isn't that considered a lateral in football? Because I was looking the other way. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about, well, for instance, how long you've been around?
All right. I've been part of Joe Customs since about 2001. I was living in Florida at the time, and I'd been doing customs since about, 1990, I guess. Didn't realize that other customizers existed. So messing around with the internet, of course, I came across Joe Customs and kind of found a home there ever since. So I guess it's been, 10, 11 years now? Made a lot of friends, had a lot of fun. Happy to do what I can to help out.
Tell us quickly or briefly the evolution of Joe Armory.
The evolution of Joe Armory.
Like, why? How did it start? What interested you about it, and what has kept you interested all these years in continuing it?
Well, Joe Armory is actually part of a much bigger business. It's about 20% of my overall business, which is movie memorabilia, music stuff, TV, animation, even antiques, which I've been doing since high school, so 91 or so. I used to have a store in Los Angeles. When I got divorced, I closed my store down in 2000, and I moved from California to Florida, where I took about a year off. At that point, I wasn't even collecting, but I got back into Joe about that time, and in 2006, the G.I. Joe convention was going to be in New Orleans, so I went ahead and got a table there just to sell off some extra stuff that I had. There used to be a Joe Customs member named Ed Strom, if everybody remembers him. I was talking to him. Afterward, he mentioned, he said, you really should open a store. I said, you know what? You're 100% right. Because at that point, I already had my other business up and running. At the time, I think the only other G.I. Joe website that was out there, web store that was out there, was G.I. Joe Headquarters, G.I. Joe HQ.com. I always, whenever I go into business or a project, I try to make it as big and as great as I can. So that was the concept behind Joe Armory, was to be everything, you know, have 12-inch stuff, have 3¾-inch stuff, but not just have complete stuff, have parts, because we're all collectors. You know, sometimes you just need an arm, sometimes you just need a helmet. You know, for the first few years, I hit it pretty aggressively, and at the same time working on my other businesses, which have taken off as well. And so I've actually slacked off on Joe Armory a little bit, but it's pretty well established at this point. As silly as this may sound, I really love what I do, and I like going out and finding things and providing a service to people that don't have that luxury to go out and find stuff, able to get these things out of, you know, closets and attics and put them back into the hands of people who want them, these pieces and parts, and complete their collections. That's the long answer.
Well, the most amazing piece of that was the name Ed Strom.
Yes.
I never knew that before, and that's awesome.
Yeah. So he's a unique individual.
Passing that out there to anybody else. Got any questions for Zombie Guide?
Questions, comments, or accusations?
All right, then, moving on. Billy, you got any questions for Zombie Guide?
Yes, actually. You kind of made a brand for yourself a little bit, I think, before Joe Armory, whenever you were making your 99% chip-proof customs.
Uh-huh.
How did you stumble upon that formula? I'm not asking for it. I'm just curious how much trial and error you went through.
There's a long story there, too, and I hope I'm not getting too long-winded here, but when I first made my first custom figure was Red Star. I took a Red Star figure, and I'd always wanted an October Guard Colonel Brekhov figure. And so having had experience for years painting Warhammer models, I was an okay painter. I went ahead and painted up Red Star, but his paint chipped immediately, and it pissed me off because it kind of defeated the whole purpose making a custom figure. So I put a good 3 or 4 years and a few $100 into coming up with what finally worked. But it's an ever-evolving process. I don't ever stop trying to improve it.
All right, fair enough.
Brad?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I just with Michael a little bit. Some folks know on the side that John's a movie star. What can you tell us about the little roles that you've had the time you've been doing it, and your plans for the future for your acting?
Well, I don't know if I'd consider myself an actor. Something I just kind of stumbled into. Definitely not a career. It's more of a hobby. What I've done, I give total credit to Joe Customs member Cabana Jack, because he had a cousin who's done a lot of bit stuff down here in New Orleans. He mentioned it to David Cabana Jack, who mentioned it to me, and the two of us went and signed on with this casting company. Our whole plan was to get onto G.I. Joe 2. So in order to do that, I did a whole bunch of stuff that I really had no interest in doing, like 21 Jump Street and a few
awesome.
Other things.
Awesome.
A few other things, but I eventually did get onto G.I. Joe 2 for 3 weeks. And, I mean, I have a million stories I would love to share, but legally I can't. If you guys want to have me back in about 2 months, I'll spill my guts and tell you everything, but for now, I'm very limited what I can say in general. After G.I. Joe 2 wrapped up, I had a conversation with my wife, and she said, well, you know, you achieved what you wanted to achieve with this. Do you want to continue doing it? It actually kind of struck me, because that was my ultimate goal, was to get onto G.I. Joe 2, which I did, and it worked out, beyond my wildest dreams. But what I kind of found was, you know, if I get a little day part or a couple day part on a movie, I really have a good time doing it just for the experience. But after a few weeks of not doing it, I start to miss it, which was kind of unexpected. So I don't, again, it's not a career move, and it is a hobby, but I don't see stopping anytime soon. In the future, I'd like to, go on more auditions and just see how far I could take it, if anywhere, just for the fun of it, with no outrageous expectations of it.
Dear Mr. Attention Whore, can I please have your autograph?
No. There's a small fee.
Are you going to be signing at the convention?
Funny enough, I signed a few autographs at the last convention. People had me sign a couple Cobra Trooper figures.
Any booby?
No, any but, booby? I'm not above that.
Well, 2013 is a year of firsts for you, sir.
That's true. I'm not above it.
I have two.
Mm-hmm. So, I got a quick question. Now that you're a Hollywood insider, like, what's your, like, opinion of the movie industry just as an extra?
As an extra. Well, when I started doing this, since I started doing this, I could never watch a TV or movie again the same way, which was kind of unexpected. It kind of ruined a lot of things, because now I find myself analyzing everything and kind of picking it apart. But that's also worked out well, because if I find myself getting lost in a movie, I recognize it as being really well put together, because I've been able to forget the technical part of it and get really involved in the story. Another thing I noticed was the absolute waste that goes on. I realized why these things cost $100 million to make. I have a complete and total new respect for directors, how they can look at this totally fake scene they've created in reality and see something that I don't see. Total new respect for the editors, who can take 20 takes and make a story out of it. I think those are the things that really, really stood out to me initially and stand out to me now.
Dan, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask what it was like to be on Retaliation, but he covered that in his answer to the previous question.
Yeah, with like I said, I mean, I really have a lot of stories that I'd love to share.
Yeah, I'm marking you down on the calendar.
All right. And, anybody else got something for Zombie Guide? Or otherwise, let's move on to harassing Billy.
Brad, are we friends on Facebook?
Yeah. We talked on here, but I don't get on Facebook.
Oh, I was going to say, if you want to get on there, I mean, I have a whole album of G.I. Joe 2 welcome to take a look at.
You freaking attention whore. You cannot use our podcast to be a friend finder.
I don't think he's a friend finder. I think he's trying to get a date. That's the best pickup line ever. Hey, yeah. Have you seen my G.I. Joe 2 pictures?
I've got some pictures you can look at. But I forgot who I'm in a room with. Everything is twisted around.
Usually by recognize and ends with the smell of regret.
And that long, shameful walk all the home.
Yes, yes. You go back to the Transformers group of you. I'm going back to the MSGI Joe Collectors Club.
You don't have enough paper. Hey, Billy.
Yes, sir.
Why no customs? Why no customs? I've been a member of this board forever, and other than a few of those LBCs I saw you post last year, I'm not seeing a whole lot on the site from you.
Well, you know, honestly, I kind of like John, Zombie Guide, I found the site by accident, too. It's actually really funny. For the longest time, I thought the site was literally just the front page. So I would go to the site daily to see the new customs, and then I'd be like, oh, okay, well, that's all this site has to offer me. And just on a whim, I went and saw that they had a forum, and that's when I started lurking. I was actually a lurker for a very long time before I started participating. As far as why I don't do customs, mainly because I'm hesitant to wreck my toys, I guess. I don't know. It's tough for me to apply paint to something and have it turn out wrong. I get, like, really bummed out by that, I guess, is the answer. I do have a figure and a vehicle in the gallery, though, if you ever want to go check that out. It's my shameless John Armio plug. But, yeah, those are the only ones that I felt comfortable with submitting to the site. And, honestly, I really do like doing LBCs because they're kind of challenging in a way because there's no such thing as a standardized part set anymore. So I really have to either try to find something that works or I have to make it work or just scrap the whole idea. I mean, I've had tons of ideas I just couldn't make happen because of I either don't have the right tools to make it happen or I just don't have the skill. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Sure.
Actually, is that the answer you wanted?
Well, I was hoping for something more arcane, you know.
But they're too good to show you jerks.
I don't want to put the rest of you to shame. That's why I don't show my stuff.
Exactly. My art is too good.
Dan?
No, I got nothing. I'm sorry.
I have a question. Billy Carr, Jr. Detective. I don't know. I hope this doesn't come out wrong, which I'm sure it will. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with lazy custom. I think that's an art form all in its own because, like you said, it does take, you know, skill and all that to make it come out the way you want. But move... Is doing, like, painted stuff and sculpted stuff something you actually desire to do?
Or? I've painted, I think it's a matter of, like, finding the right paints. I recently painted a couple of customs. One that I posted in the critiques forum, but didn't submit because it's not technically a G.I. Joe-based custom.
Yeah.
And since then, the paint has become, like, really tacky. I was using that Testers brand.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I really like this custom, but now the paint's just ruined it for me, and that kind of bums me out. So, I don't know. It's just one of those things. If I could find the right paints, I would definitely paint more.
Well, we all have to go through that, where you try the testers because it's cheap, and the Arilla, it's terrible on the plastic that we use. Yeah. Happens to everybody. I've had a bunch of figures where they got tacky.
And that's half the fun. Well, I don't know if it's half the fun, but it's half the process of finding what works and what doesn't work. But it can get expensive fast, and it can get frustrating fast, that's for sure.
I recommend you guys put some Mod Podge on your tacky customs, and then put a bag over your head. No, I'm serious. I think that Mod Podge, I mean, or Mod Podge. I don't know how the hell you pronounce it, but
yeah, Mod Podge is correct.
Oh, thanks, Vector. anyway, I think that that will put a, you know, an Elmer's glue coat over the entire thing, and if nothing else, it'll stop the tackiness and should, like, stop it from collecting fingerprints and dust and stuff like that, too. Yeah, I'm not saying it's the answer to everything, but, you know, Bindi's got my arm up behind my back trying to say Mod Podge all the time.
I've actually had some decent results using Tester's dull coat to dry out the tacky paint.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work on everything, because it also has to do with whatever plastic is beneath the paint, because some of the softer plastics, it won't take it for anything.
Correct.
But some of the harder plastics, like on the old like torsos on the Star Wars figures and whatnot, the Tester's dull coat will actually seal it and prevent it from getting tacky again.
That's a good point you just made, because when I paint, I primarily stick with really hard plastics, you know, real American Hero style. My painting method doesn't really work well with the new sculpt stuff. I really haven't tried it with the 25th stuff, but the new stuff is just too rubbery.
And that's
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's okay. I was going to say, that's the other thing, too. When we were in the new sculpt era, the Spy Troops, Valor Venom, two packs, tons of accessories, whatever, I didn't feel as bad making customs then because they were a lot cheaper. Now, with the price point the way it is, if I buy something, it's really hard for me to just chop it up. Even during the new sculpt era, with the way that they made the figures, it was easier to pull them apart and reassemble them. I mean, you had the O-ring, you had a softer plastic, you didn't have to deal with the arm rivets of the Real American Hero figures. I mean, I made a ton of LBCs back then. I just never posted any of them because, well, they were LBCs. I never felt like I could or should.
Do you still have them?
No, I gave them all away.
Who'd you give them to? Did you give them to Bad Ash? Because I gave him a bunch and he never even said thank you.
That's him.
No, the, one of my, one of our friends has a, he's like a 6 or 7 year old boy. I was like, hey, have all these free toys because otherwise they're going in the dumpster. And
Hold on. I've got it. You're going to have to restart that story because I swear to God, you just said your friend was a 6 year old boy and you gave him a bunch of toys.
I don't know. Yeah, in a van.
The level just went to 12 here.
So our friends have a 6 or 7 year old son, and he's a really nice kid. And so I just had like 3 totes full of action figures. I was like, I don't need these. I don't want them anymore. And I took them over to him. And the first thing he did was, the first couple of things he did was he pulled out a Destro figure, the Spy Troops Destro and the turtleneck and the red pants. And he goes, cool, look, it's Metal Face. And my inner nerd was like, no, kid, that's Destro. But then, you know, common sense reigned, and I was like, yeah, Metal Face, he's a cool dude. But then he pulled out this LBC Snake Eyes I had made and a Click and Connect Metallo, and then he promptly set to whooping Metallo's butt with Snake Eyes. I think at one point Metallo ended up 10 feet away from him after the kid threw him. So, I mean, part of me was cringing because obviously I'd spent a long time putting those together. But the other part of me was like, well, these are toys. That's what they're for, you know? So, I mean, I felt good about it at the end of the day. And the dad ended up making like a Cobra base for the kid out of like plywood and stuff. It was a really sturdy looking base.
Did the kid then say, these are LBCs, please take them back?
No. He was thrilled. He was absolutely thrilled. Dumped them all out, drove his mom insane. It was a good day.
Awesome.
But why? I would really like to see these things in the future if you do them. I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, posting them for the rest of us to take a look at.
Sometimes I text them to Plov, and he just criticizes me and makes me feel bad. So.
Yeah.
I try to make you push the envelope.
There's nothing wrong with a well-made LBC.
No.
Sometimes they are fantastic. If you find the right parts that go together, it'll be a great figure.
Yeah, that's what I run across. And sometimes, you know, it's about, I find that it's my level of happiness. So if I put something together and P-Love says that it's terrible, you know, I don't have a problem with him saying that because I'm still happy with it at the end of the day. So that's I guess part of it is being not ashamed, but afraid that other people are going to come in and be like, well, you could do this if you had a Dremel kit. And I'm like, I have a dull box cutter and some old rusty screwdrivers. So I won't be doing any of those suggestions. But thank you for taking the time to look.
Often a lot of people can look at something like that, and even if they don't say anything, maybe they're just lurking, but they can get some ideas off of it, and it can be inspiring.
And that's true, and that's kind of why I've stuck around for so long, is because I genuinely love seeing everybody's work. I mean, it's such a big inspiration for me to see other people and what they do and what their personal corner of the universe means to them, you know? Even if I don't personally try to ape their customs, it's still such a thrill for me to see someone who's put a ton of work and a ton of time into making a story and a figure to put out there. You know, even if I don't comment on everyone's thread, you know, if something comes, like, really strikes me, I'll make sure to leave a comment saying how much I like it, or if I think there could be a little something done differently. I don't know. It's just, I get inspired by other people's work. I can't ape it, and I can't do it the same, but, you know, I still love to see it.
Good answer. I approve.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, I don't comment on every custom that I see, but if something really does stand out, I'll take the extra time to put a, you know, a little note in there. But I do take a look at just about everything that pops off. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I only my stuff.
He means that literally. Like, he just looks at himself in the mirror.
I'm looking at my stuff right now, if you know what I mean.
Well, you bad time, my guy.
So, Billy, so I'm trying to decide, since nobody's ever campaigned quite as hard as you to be a mod on the site, are you trolling me?
You know, back when Brad was running the site, I did actually want to be a moderator. Now it's just kind of become a running joke, I think, between John and I, because I like to see the creative ways he tells me no.
This just in! Never!
Yeah, exactly, just like that. I mean, you know, I see, like, you know, like, Jeff, you started out as the moderator of, like, one forum, and I always thought that was really cool, because that was their, I guess, dry run for you, and then they made you a full mod, and that was a really good choice. Would I be a good mod? Not at all. I'd be a terrible moderator, and you can put that on the record, but... that's not going to stop me from asking, because eventually, just like how I got, you know, my wife to marry me, I think I can wear it.
So you have a full plan.
Yes, and when that plan comes to fruition, everything dies.
If it wasn't no before, it's definitely a no now. Holy crap.
Except for now it's a hell no.
We are not going on a honeymoon.
Oh.
Well, let's kick it right into the why we have these guys on here. We brought Killcar and Zombie Guy on here because they're going to be going over some of the customs during the custom celebration and specifically leading up to the Joe Customs Awards.
I'd like to plug in right there that if we're talking about it, the custom celebration is going to run from February 11th to February 25th. That's all.
Huh. Yeah, if people are listening to this, they have no idea what we're talking about. We take 2 weeks. We kind of, you know, it's right after Toy Fair. That's planned by design. Everybody's interested about toys and stuff, and we use that and start talking about love of customs, not just G.I. Joe customs. We usually pull in articles and people from all customizing walks of life and just talk about that. And it all leads up to the year-end annual Joe Customs Awards, where we kind of give a pat on the back to everybody who put out something special, and that this year's just as big as last year, which was even bigger than the year before. So it's going to be spectacular. So
I'm going to jump in right here and say that your Joe Customs forms, if this even gets out, edited, and put up, the JCA forms are due midnight February 1st. Get on it.
You weren't supposed to take us up on an offer.
I got to tell you, and I'll be honest, you know, forget putting together all the polls and the final vote and all that. Just putting together a submission form is a task in itself, especially when you're limited to 5 nominations per category. And if you nominate yourself for a few of them, you have even less options. I basically go through and go, yeah, I like that one. So I plug it in. Yeah, I like that one. And before you know, it's like, okay, I really like that one, but do I like it better than the other ones in there? And, you know, it's like, ah, well, I'll just move it to a different category. Yeah, and before you know it, it's added all together, even though it was a really solid custom.
One more thing. I turned in my form. One thing that I was amazed this year versus years past was how many brand new names I was putting in for best custom of the year. You know, last year was a great year for a lot of people.
That's unacceptable.
Anyway, let's go back to why Billy Killcar and Zombie Guide are talking at us today.
Yeah, so what are you guys doing for the custom celebration?
I really have no clue.
Yeah, Jonna, her Zombie Guide, messaged me and said that I needed to help him because he's not cool enough to do things on his own. Now, the truth is, we are kind of doing the Critics Corner that Zombie Guide in Chief did last year. Chief was called overseas to some place, you know, parts unknown.
He's touching it. That's all he's doing. That's all he's doing. All 2 weeks he's just touching it.
Look, I'm trying to keep his military secrets secret, okay? Zombie Guide asked me if I wanted to participate, and at first I said no, because who am I to critique anybody's customs? But then, like everything else, he just kept saying, come on, until I agreed.
I took the Billy Carr approach. this kind of goes with what Billy said a few minutes ago, where a couple years ago he really, really wanted to be a mod. I think it's nice that he can contribute to the website in other ways, because I think he does have a lot to offer as far as creativity. I think he'll be a great reviewer.
You're making me misty.
Well, I have other aspirations with you, sir. I'm wearing you down now.
You can throw a toddler in my panties.
Hey, which one of you is Cisco, which one is Ebert, which one is Roper, and which one is Gene Shalit?
Wow. I think I'm Gene Shalit. Because he had such an awesome set of hair and mustache and voice that everybody hated him. So I'm good with that.
All right.
I'll be the guy from Ain't It Cool News.
Eric Knowles?
Yeah.
You're going to need to gain a lot of weight.
Yep. Yeah, I'd be more suited for Harry Knowles than you. You got to keep that Hollywood weight going.
Yeah, right. Well, what we're going to do in the Critics Corner is take a look at, you know, the all the customs in the forum seem to get most of the attention. So we're going to go back through the actual archives from Joe Customs, all 10, 11, or 12 years, and really start to pick through those archives where there's, you know, thousands of customs that have built up over the years, and take a look at playsets, vehicles, all styles of figures, you know, Real American Hero, 25th, and just take a look at some of the lesser-known customizers' work so that we can bring some of these customs that may have been forgotten over the years and bring them to light and take a new look at them.
I'm not going to lie, Critics Corner last year was one of my favorite parts of the celebration, and you and Chief, you did an awesome job, Zombie Guide, and Billy, you got some big shoes to fill, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys can do with this.
Yeah, Billy, you got some Zero Dark Chiefy shoes to fill.
Yeah, there's no pressure there, I guess.
he'll be watching from the shadows.
I think it'd definitely be very interesting to see how you do this year, filling in for it.
I think we're taking a much better approach to it this year. Where last year we kind of tried to find our footing, and I think we bit off way more than we could chew last year, and we didn't give ourselves enough time. But we're taking an all-new approach this year, taking our time with it, and not putting quite the burden on ourselves this year as we did last year. So hopefully we're going with quality over quantity.
Yeah, I know Jeff and I can speak to this. There's a lot going on. We're juggling a lot of plates, and you end up just going, oh, crap, what have I gotten myself into?
Uh-huh. It is time-consuming, and contrary to popular belief, we do all have lives outside of Joe Customs. So I think our approach this year is really going to work out for the better.
Yeah, if you guys need any help you know, with these plates you're juggling, let me know. I'm more than happy to lend a hand.
You already are. I'll announce it now. Dan's going with me to Toy Fair. He's going to help with some of our coverage this year.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to shove him off into Star Wars while I talk to John Warden, Daryl the Priest, about why they're ruining my childhood. I'm kidding.
Now, what you should be asking is how soon we can get our hands on every single one of those figures that were in the concept case, because that needs to happen.
Yeah, we need those zombie figures coming out.
I need ninjas, and you know what the number one question you should be asking is, how soon till we get Quinn?
You know, if they don't have a spot for him announced at Toy Fair, I don't know if they will. Maybe at Con, you know, maybe it's...
The Mystery 13.
We'll see.
I've heard that. I'm hoping. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But
I think we'll get it at some point. I don't know where, but I think we'll get it at some point.
Yeah, it's definitely, they want to. It's just finding a spot. But
I'd actually like to see a return of the Adventure Team. Like, you guys remember that thread I did a couple months back of a way to revitalize the line?
Yeah.
I think the Adventure Team might be a good thing to do now.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially with a lot of people focusing on how awful war toys are. I think Adventure Team would be really good. I mean, because that was more science and exploration based. You know, of course there was action in it, but it wasn't, you know, anything that I would think that a lot of people would find it objectable.
It was more Indiana Jones than frontline combat.
Exactly.
I mean, I know those Jurassic Park figures, you know, the Archer that had the Adventure Team logo, and then one popped up that had a different head and didn't have it. I know those are, you know, generated a lot of discussion throughout the community. Jody Classified brought it out, and, you know, I know What's on Joe Mind talked about it too, those podcasts, and I kind of like it. I absolutely
love it. I would love to see those figures hit retail. I'd actually prefer the Red Dog head instead of the Adventure Team head, just because I think it has a lot more personality to it. I would love to see those at retail, and I think that they would do decently, depending on the price, of course.
I think they would do well, especially if they brought out some kind of media to back it up. Cartoon series, comic books, something that did focus on that storyline. I think it would do quite well.
I would say, Jeff, spoiler alert here, that if you're a fan of Adventure Team, you're going to be excited by what you see during the custom celebration from a certain customizer who we will not name because he's in the shadows touching it.
Subtle.
I'm so dead.
And you'll never even see it coming, even.
I know, I'm like sitting half turned to the back of the room just to make sure no one's coming through the door.
I think it's funny that you think he'd come through the door and not through the wall.
I think it's funny that you don't already know he's there.
Guys, knock it off.
He's going to be jumping every sound now.
That spider behind the door? No, that's a small one. You're already dead.
I was going to say, Custom Celebration is great. I took part in it a while back. It was a discussion with myself and Adrian Veit about merging universes, and it was one of the most fun things I ever wrote for the site. So I can't wait to see what you guys have up your sleeves for the rest of it.
Me either.
Me either. There's always those last-minute surprises. Oh, speaking of which, last-minute surprise, anybody who's listening to this, there's not going to be an LBC challenge this year. There's going to be two LBC challenges.
Shut the front door.
What? Yeah, we had a lot of participation last time. We're going to try it again, do it two weekends in a row.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I ended up, I think last year, didn't I put in like 8 to 10 of them? And you got upset.
I did not get upset.
We can't reveal details at this point, but I know Joe Army is sponsoring one of the challenges. And we think it's going to be a fun one that people are going to really enjoy.
That's the first I've heard of that.
Expect, you know, some of the normal stuff. You'll see the customizer interviews. We've gone out beyond the forum and asked some of our favorite customizers out there, you know, some advice, tips, how they got into things. You'll see. And then I've already filmed them. They're already in the bag. I've got two video tutorials along with, you know, an article that'll go with them for repairing thumbs on a vintage figure and making a diorama tree. Those will both be up during the celebration.
Nice. Very cool.
And still more. There's lots more. Like I said, lots of plates juggling, lots of stuff going on. Hopefully it'll be... We've got a bar, and we're trying to at least meet it, but we'll see.
So if anybody has any ideas, by the way, of something they'd like to see, not just our panel of guests here, but anybody who might have the mistake of listening to this thing, if there's something you'd like to see or you got a good idea, just send a private message just to one of us or...
To Jeff. Or, please send it to Jeff.
And we'll throw it in the mix and see what happens. Throw it in the mix and see what sticks. Right, Billy?
Correct.
And if Jeff says no, you be sure you hit him up Billy style and you keep at him.
Because you might wear me down and we'll go on a honeymoon.
All right.
What's our first discussion topic then? Or third or fourth?
Let's kick it off with Outstanding Customs.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10! Woo!
Can I go first?
Please.
Did you guys see Tankster's deal that he posted today? The Desolation Duskwalker mech?
Yeah, that's the beast.
Good lord. That's a beautiful piece right there. However, I do want to say this. The one custom that, I don't even know if you call it one custom. The one customizing project that really came to my attention this week was the massive Crocmaster project by me and no one else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you guys get into that thread?
Absolutely. Crocmaster is actually one of my favorite characters. Much like me and no one else, he was a super bad dude when I was a kid, and I ended up having him mutate by slapping his head in a road pig chest. He became an even more stronger bad guy when I was a kid. And then with just seeing his evolution of that character was, and obviously as much as he wrote about it, you could tell that he had a real interest in making or recreating something that he had in his head, which I thought was fantastic. I fully supported and appreciated everything he posted in that thread.
Well, what was awesome to me, I guess, is the discovery of the fact that he wasn't just modifying one figure. Like, he wasn't just changing out his one. He would, like, do something to it, and then he would make an additional one with different changes. And next thing you know, he's got 3, 6, 9, 11 of these things. And it's just everyone is different. You line them all up and took that photo. It's just like, holy crap. Awesome.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Yeah, that was the best part, was seeing all the individual variations that he created.
A lot of the parts he was using on some of the latter ones were kind of hard to come by, so it took a lot of time to find those parts to use them in that aspect.
The other custom that really stood out to me was Iron Will's Agent Venom. You know, he put out a batch, but I never really cared for, you know, once they started spreading the Spider-Man symbiote around and around and around, and everybody's uncle had part of the symbiote, I didn't care for the storyline. But his custom made me look back and look at the character, how it's grown and moved, and man, that custom is badass.
It's a very good representation of that character. I actually follow that particular character, and like you, was really burned out on symbiotes. Flash Thompson as Venom is probably some of my favorite comics that I've read just this past year.
Hey, one other thing I throw up, and then I have to actually go check on my kids because they're being really quiet. is Tam's Toys, or Tim, who put up that Hawk Boy custom. Did you guys look at that yet?
Was that today?
I think he just put it up today, didn't he?
It should be the first...
Yeah, it's with
right at the top.
Yeah, I see it.
Anyway, I was looking at that, and although it's cool for what it is, and I'm glad he's, you know, going the direction he is, when I saw that, I saw three customs. The first one I saw was Condor Man. You guys remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's a Condor Man in there, there is a Valkyrie in there, and there is a Pegasus in there. So I don't know where he got those wings. Or that helmet. Anybody know where he got that stuff?
Well, the helmet to me looks like a Serpentor helmet with wings from Thor. A Thor helmet glued on.
Yeah, that's a custom helmet.
Yeah, he custom made that.
And the wings?
No idea.
No clue.
Not sure.
I mean, with Christmas so close behind us, I mean, it could have been something from that, but it looks like it came from an action figure. I just don't know what.
But if there was a picture of the reverse angle, it would probably be easier to identify.
It's true. You guys remember the Clash of the Titans movie? The original?
Yeah.
Remember the Pegasus that came in that toy line?
Yeah.
It was like a statue of a horse with the rubbery wings.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, we took the wings off that horse and would just like plug it under the action figure's arms, and we would have flying action figures that way.
Huh? Lifelong customizer, eh?
Yep.
Yes.
I smell another credit coming along.
But on that Hawk Boy custom, that it looks like he used ribbon to make the harness. Like if you look look closely at it, I think that's white ribbon that he used on it.
Ribbon, or is it like silicon tape?
It could be silicon tape too. But either way, I mean, he custom made the harness. He didn't just find a harness that was plastic and put it on there.
Yeah.
It's tape. Simply by the way, if you look at the bottom of the it follows it perfectly, the contour of the figure. I would say that's probably tape.
And that's a great idea. Plumber's tape. Now, I wasn't familiar with the Crocmaster project you were talking about a minute ago, so I went back and looked. And it reminded me of my daughter when she was about 4 or 5 years old. She was playing with the Crocmaster figure. And she said, "What's his name?" And I said, "Crocmaster." And she said, "Wow, he must really love those shoes."
Beav is going to love that one.
My favorite customs this week is by Shaka 85. He did two new Joes, I Spy and Hardcore. I got to say, Hardcore has the most intricate camouflage painting I think I've seen at this scale. It's amazing. You'd almost think it was a Tampo from
Yeah. That was the other one on my list, too. That camo scheme was just... It almost looked like it was digital, but it also looked like it was some kind of desert tiger stripe. It was pretty cool.
I also got to say, I have a fondness for I Spy, because he actually used my head sculpt from the old Slayer designs.
Well, and
I figure, it's an Adventure King character.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I like the I Spy, because it looks like it could be an Adventure King, and it's got me on the hunt for one of those Outback vests, because that thing is just perfect.
Yep. But those are my two favorites this week. Everything else is awesome, too. The Crocmaster project is great, the Mech Walker, but the camouflage on Hardcore just really jumps out at me. It's the most masterful thing I've seen all week.
Yeah, the camouflage on Hardcore is extremely impressive. Just, I'm sure all of us have attempted camouflage at one point or another, and it's really, really hard to even remotely get it right, let alone achieve what he's done here.
I would almost say that the camo is Hardcore.
Yeah.
Flag on the play.
Do we have a rim shot sound effect we could throw in for that one?
Yeah.
Hold tight just a second. I got it.
Way to be on the spot.
There we go.
He can fix that in edit. I guess for me, my two favorite customs, I'm always a fan of the oddball customs, like just ones that, I mean, I like traditional ones. Like, I like that I Spy one quite a bit, but I've got a fondness for weird customs, I guess. And the first one that comes to mind for me is Iron Will's Gleek 2.0.
Oh, that one's really cool.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest Wonder Twins fan, but that Gleek was with the head and, was it the Salacious Crumb body? Just really smart customizing. And made for an interesting representation of the character that I'd never really cared about before, but was still really cool to see in that format.
It's definitely very impressive.
Yeah. And then the other one that really stood out to me was by Dusty79, the Hitori Ikirio, using the Retaliation Storm Shadow body with some Kamakura parts, Renegades, Cobra Commander Half Mask.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
I know it's got some paint on it, but it's still largely an LBC, and, you know, obviously that speaks to my wheelhouse, and it just looks cool. I mean, with the touches of red here and there, and the way everything kind of flows together, you know, it looks like something that I could go and pick up off the shelf, and I really appreciate that.
It does. It looks very much like an actual Hasbro product, And especially, as he said, if this is his first custom figure, I think he knocked it out of the park. I really do.
Absolutely.
Especially with the white on the shins and the forearms, it matches the base body very well, and you know how hard it is to paint white on top of another color.
Right.
Brad, was there anything that stuck out to you?
Yeah, my Prime Master project. As always, I spent time with the Marvel DC Mirror Master using the actual parts from the DPI figures with modern scale or better scale.
Yeah. Spin Doctor is one of my favorite all-time customizers because he's got a real eye for parts. And, you know, he just recently started painting more, which turned out great, but he still tries to make his customs as posable and playable as possible, which, again, is, you know, something I wholeheartedly, you know, can get behind. He makes great-looking figures. I can't gush enough about Spin Doctor. So if he hears this, hey, Spin.
Hold on one second. Somebody's typing like a madman. We're picking it up.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. That's my. I was answering a question of Spin Doctors on the Mirror Master thing. I identified the gun for him.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think my mic was that sensitive. I apologize.
You type really fast.
Yes, I do. I'm just reading and he couldn't identify where the gun came from. It's from a Star Wars Talon card figure, but I know I got like six of them in a drawer here.
Actually, I do want to bring up Spin Doctor. Go back to that just for a second. I think he got like 2 out of 5 nominations from me for action shots for his figures. I was looking at like his Harley Quinn figure, and I'm like, man, he really captured that character in 2 pictures. Everything you need to know about her, 2 pictures. I just thought that was crazy. And then I remembered, oh yeah, he used to tell Dio stories. Dio, screw you people, I don't care.
Holy Diva! Yeah, actually, Spin Doctors, I know that he's been too busy to do it, but I was a big fan of his Dio stories. It was how I actually found Joe Customs originally, was through Tim Elf, Zed Hatch, and General Hawk's Dio stories. That's how I found the link to Joe Customs. So you can blame them for me joining the board.
We do blame them.
Wow, I feel like we should have had a Wayne's World, you know, flashback. That's the Wayback Machine.
I want to jump in and point out a custom that really stood out to me lately was Suburbanator's Desert Fox. Has anybody seen this?
Yeah, the chocolate chip camo on it is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
I'm a huge fan of A Real American Hero, obviously, and I don't really think there's very many bad sculpts in that whole line. I think everything in that line can be improved just a little bit, and I think he really added something with that. Took a bland vehicle, and there's still a few things that I think could be improved in what he did, but overall, I mean, it really, really got my attention.
Well, I've always liked the Desert Fox. It really seemed like an all-purpose, fast-attack vehicle, semi on par with the Hiss, yes. In my estimation. And what he did to it, to just add to it, even using the Flint Skystriker stickers on it, just made it look even that much more mean, I guess.
No, that's a good point. I think about 15 years ago or so, I did an October Guard custom using the Desert Fox, and I did it in gray and black and put, you know, stars and stuff all over. It looked pretty cool. But I never really thought about what you just said as far as an all-purpose vehicle doing it in Arctic colors or woodland camo. Yeah, definitely can be used for everything.
I can see it actually being re-released by Hasbro as the Arctic Fox or the Jungle Fox, etc., with just different colors like you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. And unfortunately, I think you went to India to fun school, so it's probably lost.
Yeah, they're probably gone now. But, I mean, Hasbro would just retool it anyway. The Desert Fox was one of those vehicles I army built without even intending to.
Because it's so cool.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I got one, you know, that I broke the gun station pegs off. So I got another one. Then, you know, I got an India fun school one really cheap. Then picked up one really cheap at a toy show. And before I knew it, I had 4. I had 1 Hiss, 1 Vamp, 4 Desert Foxes.
there's just so much you can do with it as far as customizing. You can add, you know, stowage to it. You can add a bullet belt coming off the gun. A windshield. There's a whole lot you can do with it.
Also cut that thing into component parts. I think I've, like, I don't even know how many, maybe 4 of them that I've actually, like, bandsawed down for their detail.
Yeah, it's got good headlights. It's got the headlight bar up top. It's got the computer station in the back. It's really versatile.
Yeah, and I think even if you were to remove the armaments from it, it would make a good exploration vehicle.
Yeah, it's a lot of potential.
Yep, definitely.
Sorry, was it Soul Jim who, for the Joe Customs group diorama at the convention, made an Arctic one? I believe it was. He gave it lights and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's cool.
I think you're right about that. And I think it was, wasn't it a wrecked one, like it was crashed? I may be remembering incorrectly.
I'd have to remember. That thing was jam-packed with so many things going on.
And along the same lines of what we're talking about, I think it was on Facebook, Brad took a Swamp Masher and tweaked the colors and made an Arctic Swamp Masher.
Yes.
And that looked awesome. The wheels on that thing kind of limit what you can do with it. And I never even considered making it into an Arctic vehicle, but that worked out really, really, really well for that ridiculous vehicle.
That was just right?
Yeah.
I actually took some of the wheels off them a while back and used them for engine exhaust for Starfighters.
That's a great idea. When I was a kid, I used to use it as a dreadnought vehicle because it just made so much more sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
I think I remember, did you post those, Dan, on the, or Spectre, did you post those on the board? Because I think I remember seeing that and thinking that was a really neat idea.
I probably did. I did it quite a long time ago, probably back by when I first joined the site. But I'm sure the pictures have to be up there somewhere.
Okay. As a shameless plug, if anybody listening to this has never seen Spectre's vehicle customs, you're doing yourself a disservice by not pausing this right now and going to look at them, because they're some of my favorites, absolutely. They just look production.
Thank you.
Okay.
The big problem is I don't post anything in the gallery. I always forget to put it there when I post new stuff up. So I end up like not being able to have people go back and look at it over time. I got to start remembering to put it in the gallery.
I would post a lot more stuff in the gallery if there wasn't a how many word minimum in the description required.
That's minimum or maximum.
Maximum. Sorry.
That's when you get Raptor to write you a good bio.
Second.
Everybody make their round on what drew you out this week or since the last podcast.
Yeah, I think we've covered it.
What's
next? Workbench?
Fodder Box or Workbench, your pick.
Well, for Workbench, I want to list a bunch of dates.
So let's go with Fodder Box first then.
All right. Fodder
Box. Anything you've gotten in recently for customizing or collecting in general?
Well, my wife actually surprised me today with a Target exclusive, the droid set they put out for the Star Wars Vintage line, and it was one of the last figures from last year that I wasn't able to get yet, so I was very happy with that. Nice. But as far as, like, customizing stuff, I had passed on them when they first came out, but the Assassin's Creed 3/4 inch figure line, I got two of them in a trade, and the parts are actually pretty good. They have kind of limited range of motion, mostly in the elbows. The sockets are very shallow. They're ball jointed, but they're very shallow, so you can't get more than like a 30-degree angle on them. But the sculpts are pretty cool, and they added a whole bunch of new parts to my, you know, repertoire here, because it's just parts I never had before, and they have a rather unique look to them, being almost Renaissance-type look.
And with the way that you repurpose accessories and clothing into your... you know, your combined verse, which, another shameless plug, is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I'll be interested to see what you do with that, because I think the Assassin's Creed, just the in general as a property, has some really visually striking elements to it. Like, you can automatically see that and point it out and be like, that's actually pretty sharp looking, so no pun intended.
Yeah, the two figures I got was the Harlequin, and I think it was called the Doctor. And I have the Doctor pieced out already. I'm making a Mon Calamari, which is the same race as Admiral Thakkar. He's going to be a demented surgeon.
Nice.
That does unnecessary surgeries on people. And the Harlequin, I'm using the upper body. I'm leaving the rather garish color scheme on the jacket. I'm creating a very pulp-ish character. I'm making a character who is a gambler that has adventures around the universe solving crimes.
Very cool.
And he's really pieced together very well. I'm waiting to paint him, but I've been rather lazy with my painting lately. But he looks pretty cool. I got him sitting in front of me, and I'm making a little deck of cards to put in his hand. You know, two different versions. One a little stack of cards, and one that's going to be a fan, as if he's sitting at the table, playing a game.
How do you, like, work in that small of a scale, like making cards and things like that? What do you use, I guess, for the details on it, and then what do you make it out of?
Well, the cards themselves are going to be made out of the bubble plastic you find from the front of the action figure packages.
Oh.
I save some of the bigger ones, like from the window box vehicles and whatnot, because I can use them to patch holes in vehicles or in playsets and whatnot. But what I'm doing is I'm cutting very, very tiny little rectangles, and I'm going to paint with one of my smallest brushes the faces of the cards.
Wow.
I have to do a little research, though, because I need to see what the suits look like in the Star Wars universe. Not a lot of visual representations. They play a card game called Sabacc, but there's not a lot of visual representations, just descriptions. So I got to kind of figure out what the suits would look like.
On painting small details, when I used to do Warhammer figures, if you use extremely fine point pens, you can really, really get down in there for those small details. I used to be able to paint watch faces with those things.
Is it pen or pen?
Pen. Fine tip pen. P-E-N.
Gotcha.
I always use I have a very, very tiny 000 brush that I use. Mm-hmm. I've never actually thought of using the pens. I probably have to see what kind of fine points I can get.
You can find really, really, really tiny pens out there, and they're great for doing small details like you're talking about.
Wait, that's did you say pen or pen?
Pen. Pen.
Wait.
like a marker pen.
No, like a writing pen.
Or like a writing pen. What I said.
Wait, did you? I just kidding.
I tried one of those art pens that Cap recommended. I've been saving it up, waiting for this custom to get to a certain point. And I tried it, and the thing ran out halfway through working on what I was doing. So upset.
Yeah, I'll just throw this out here for what it's worth. I went looking for brushes on Amazon because, you know, I go through them pretty dang quick, and they cost an arm and a leg if you buy them at an art store, and if you buy them at Michael's, normally you just get crap, and they're still kind of pricey. So I was looking on Amazon for brushes, and I ran across that Amazon sells a bunch of manicurist brushes, fingernail painting brushes. But if you look at them, they are zeros, double zeros, triple zeros, and you can pick up, like, I bought a set of three for $1.96, and I bought a set of 15 for $2.96 or something like that. The downside is they ship from China, so it takes a while to get them. But for the most part, they're on par with anything you would pick up at Michael's. They may not be the quality that you would get at an art store, but granted, how many of us buy those, you know, $10 a piece brushes? So I would highly recommend if you need a set of cheap brushes, go through Amazon and look in their manicurist nails, whatever.
Very good.
Also, they have these other things they call dotting tools or something like that, and I assume they're just for, you know, putting dots of paint on things. But what they really are just like dental picks with little metal balls of different diameters on the end. I don't know. I think it's going to be my new eye painting tool or sculpting tool.
Yeah. That's very good. I use my little tiny brushes for the eyes. I put it the two different colors for the iris, the black dot, and then the white dot on top of it for the reflection. I just use my little 000.
Is that what you call it?
John?
This week I had B.I. Thomas, by Thomas, picked up a couple Sky Strikers for me and sent those in. And then my mom also came across a couple Sky Strikers at Ross or TJ Maxx and picked those up for me. So I've got four Sky Strikers sitting here. I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. I think a couple are going to be transformed, of course. That seems to be the trend lately. It's something I've actually wanted to do for a really long time. Back in December, I cleaned out what I call the Batcave. That's my Joe Armory warehouse. Cleaned that entire thing out. While I was doing that, I came across all my old customs from about 10 or 12 years ago, which was kind of fun to come across those. Ended up cleaning those up and reworking those. But any ideas on what to do with Sky Strikers, I'm open to hear.
Okay. Well, the Transformers idea is good, but what about the Robotech jets? Remember the Ferrotech fighters?
Yeah, I'm not overly familiar with them. I remember Robotech the cartoon, but I'm not overly familiar, so I'd have to do some research on that.
Yeah, the Ferrotechs were essentially like futuristic F-14, so it would probably work out pretty well. I mean, if you're into it, if not, then don't waste the time. You know?
Right. Well, yeah, with Sky Strikers.
Chief actually made a Veritech fighter out of a Sky Striker. At least he was working on one at one point. I can't recall if he finished it or not. From what I remember, it started out really fantastically. So, I mean, that's something you could definitely do. You could also maybe consider with the you know, the con set coming up, quickly doing a Night Force one and selling it for a ton of cash to someone who I'm sure will want one.
Yeah. I bet you the con's going to do one on their own anyway. You'll probably end up seeing that as a big vehicle.
$250.
Yeah.
I'm also going to throw this out here that the ridiculously awesome group project, which is due Sunday, February 24th, do something with a Sky Striker.
Oh, yeah. Kill Cars project.
Yeah. You know, that actually started out as a joke, and we were in the now defunct Joe Customs chat room. I had an idea for a Rolling Thunder that shot out when that it's missiles, and then the payload that came out of those missiles were just a Sol Viper rifle, and they just came out shooting, and we just started throwing vehicles back and forth that were just ridiculous, and you know, I was like, you know, I'm just going to see about throwing this out there as a group project. I never in a million years thought that anyone would actually vote for that, so I was shocked when it won.
And by the way, you're becoming a mod next week too.
And then the Mayans prediction comes true the week after that.
Yes. All these things you thought would never happen are happening.
But it's ridiculous and awesome. By the way, I'm still working on my Cobra car.
Cobra car?
I've been looking forward to it. I looked at it today. It's going to look awesome. Yeah.
I got in some customizing stuff for the tutorials. I had to get some like underbrush and stuff like that. Foliage type things for the trees, but I waited till after the holidays for that stuff to go on sale, brought in a coupon and got it all pretty cheap. But other than that, I haven't picked out anything up.
Oh shit. I mean, oh
golly,
I found some new paint this week, and I've talked about it off site, but I've been super happy with it. P-Love, you're gonna have to find a link because I can't remember what it was, but it was Army Painters. Is that the name brand of it?
Come on.
Yes, that was the name of it. Fantastic stuff. I used it. They didn't have black or white primer at the store, but they had this brown leather primer, and I primed up a 25th Cobra Commander, and I'll tell you what, normally I expect that to be sticky and tacky and not really cure. It was totally fine, probably within 10 minutes, and now it's been like a week later, still not tacky, pulled paint incredibly well. I have nothing bad to say about it at all except the price, which was about $15 for a regular can of spray paint. This stuff worked so well, I went to their website and actually bought a can of black and a can of white to use for primer. I think this is going to be my new go-to primer. The cops came, there was a big shootout, and everybody died.
It's supposed to be on par with that. Well, it's made for, like, the gaming community, but the paint specifically says for, like, metal, wood, plastic.
It's the best.
Yeah, the armypainter.com, and underneath their supplies, they have the primer.
For me, I got some stuff in. I've been wanting to put together Dr. Who custom. I've been wanting to put together a Dr. Who custom. So I got in a Wolverine Origins Lee Schreiber Sabretooth figure, which is the longest description of a figure ever. but I got that in, and I've been personally on an adventure team kick lately. So I got in a Resolute Gung-Ho and Salt on Cobra Island Shipwreck that I'm going to putz around with and try to make into more adventure-y type characters.
Oh, that'll be cool.
You need to post them when you're done.
You don't tell me what to do.
Yes, I will.
Pixar, they never happened.
Exactly.
Oh,
share the wealth.
Brad?
Not a whole lot this week. It's been up and down. Just going out and had a couple days with the kids and wanted to do some shopping. I've been with the park and three or five stuff there.
All right, let's move on to Workbench. What are you actually, like, working on right now? The customizing Workbench. Workbench. John, you said you were working on your Sky Strikers. Are you working on anything else?
No, the Sky Strikers are still sitting in the box figuring out what to do with them. Right now I'm finishing up the last of some commissions that I need to get out, and then I'll forever be done doing commissions because I'm sick of doing them the past 5 or 6 years. I'm trying to finish up a project that I'm working on for the custom celebration. It'll be a tutorial.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's about it. I do have a whole lot of things I need to do, but those are the things I'm actually working on right now.
Yeah. Dan?
Well, my aforementioned mad Mon Calamari surgeon and my gambler character were assembled this week but haven't been painted. But I'm still sitting on a ton of stuff that I have not had time to paint. My zombies, my communications array, a bunch of other stuff. I'm actually making time next weekend. I'm actually going to sit down and paint some stuff, so you're going to see some brand new customs from me by next Monday. Not this coming Monday, but following Monday.
Awesome.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Oh, you'll see some new stuff. I got a whole bunch of projects ready to go. Like I said, just been trying to make the time. This weekend, unfortunately, was a wash. I didn't get to do much of what I needed to do. But next weekend, customizing straight through Friday afternoon to Sunday night.
Ah, the good old days.
Yeah.
Brad?
I just finished up a different take on Poison Ivy and Swamp Thing. Now I'm trying to figure out what all the things for Heck of Swamp Thing. Or this one. If you guys have any ideas, I'd make a murky swamp of water. Maybe a DM or something.
Dan, what were those Star Wars figures that had, like, the limbs and stuff on the action figure bases? Like, just the stands.
Those were from the Saga line, from Attack of the Clones era. But the ones I'm thinking of actually be better were from Revenge of the Sith. They had a couple of figures that had bases that had, like, mushrooms and things like that sculpted to it. They came in multiple different colors because they were from supposed to be different environments. But they came with a ton of Revenge of the Sith figures. And they fit together. They were modular. You can get, like, four of them together and it made kind of a rough square. And the more of them you put together, the bigger the terrain is.
Cool.
I was actually about to suggest that before you mentioned it.
Hey, Dan, you were asking the best way to make water?
No, that wasn't me. That was Brad.
Oh, Brad, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You were asking the best way to make water?
Yes.
What I've done in the past is use shellac, like a polyurethane that's clear. Just kind of scoop that out and let it dry. That's worked for me in the past.
Do you have a lot of issues with bubbles from that, though?
Not that I recall. It's been a long time since I've done it. But I don't recall having that problem.
There is a product. They sell it mostly for model railroad displays and whatnot. They're these little plastic beads. You put them in a pot. You heat them up, and they melt. They turn into a clear liquid that's very thick, almost like taffy. And you pour it over, like if you're making a river or whatnot, and it's supposed to dry crystal clear, and you can even, as it's still drying, it starts getting gummy, like very thick. You can sculpt in little waves and whatnot. That might be something to look into. For the life of me, I can't remember the brand name, but it's mostly sold in model train stores.
Very cool.
Yeah.
There's a flowering thing it's pretty similar. So you can make like a fake arrangement look like it's in water, but I tried that one and it came out more like Jell-O, where it was solid-ish, not quite, still.
The train store stuff comes out rock solid. I used it many, many years ago. I was building a Dungeons & Dragons display for a commission client of mine, and I used it to make a pool of water in the dungeon, and it's rock hard. It's like you can tap on it and it doesn't even leave a mark.
It's rock molds, right?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it just called like terrainbuilders.com or something like that?
Something along those lines, but I'd have to look it up to see for sure. But I remember using that stuff. It's real quick to use. It sets up fast. It hardens quickly. It's actually very useful. I'm actually going to plan on getting some myself relatively soon because I have a project coming up that's going to need what looks like a pond. So I'm going to need the same thing.
Is that the moat around Castle Destro? Because I'm really excited for you to finish that.
No, actually, it's you know the DC Comics character Starro, the starfish that they attach to people's faces and they take over your mind.
Yes,
I have the HeroClix Starro, which looks excellent next to 3¾-inch figures. I have a small diorama coming up for a future storyline involving the Starro parasites, and I want to have them in look like they're underwater.
For small things, drips or like a bucket filled with water, you can use like hot glue on low temperature settings. So it doesn't, if you do high, it'll get white afterwards. But if you do on low, it'll come out clear looking. But I wouldn't suggest that for bodies of water or rivers or anything like that. It doesn't quite spread evenly like any of the other suggestions would. But for something small, it works great.
Yeah, but don't you run the risk of it turning back to liquid again when it gets too hot? So I've had some issues with some hot glue where it just gets soft again if it's too hot in the room in the summer.
Oh, right, yeah. I don't know, get an air conditioner.
That's one of those hidden costs of customizing they don't tell you about.
Yeah. Paint cracks, things fall apart, and hot glue remelt.
All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
Who's got something for
The No Joe Challenge, number 70.
The Simpsons?
The Simpsons. Due, noon.
Yeah.
February 25th.
Not me.
I did one years ago, but it's wouldn't be eligible now because I did it like 10 years ago. I did Comic Book Guy.
Ineligible.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, I did it as a Star Wars character.
You got when that gets posted, though, you got to show it off. Let us see it.
It's up there somewhere on the site, but I'll post pictures after all the Nojo Challenge is done.
Be like, yeah, this is how you do it.
So, we'll bring it up again during the celebration, but it is actually due the Monday, the last day of the celebration. So you guys still have time. So next on the workbench, who's got something for Mascot Madness number 3 due March 1st?
I was actually toying with doing, even it was done in the last one, the most interesting man in the world. I was thinking of doing the most interesting man in the galaxy and doing a Star Wars version. But I'm still trying to figure out parts, because it really is nothing that equates to a suit in the Star Wars universe.
Well, I'd recommend using the law head with a goatee and glasses.
Not a bad idea.
No reason.
As the suit goes, you could probably get away with Return of the Jedi Luke, that nice crisp black jacket and pants that he's wearing. Close attention to formal dress, anyway.
That's not a bad idea, but what I was thinking of is the closest thing we've seen to formal dress in the Star Wars films is the stuff that they wear on Coruscant. So I was thinking of maybe doing almost like the Chancellor's outfit, but in black. So it'll be, a long robe with an ornate jacket over it. But as long as it still kind of screams most interesting man in the world, with the head or whatnot, it should work.
I was thinking Queen Amidala. You don't get any more ornate than that.
It doesn't quite qualify as a man, though.
Sexist.
That's a man, baby. All right, I think I dropped all the dates out there, T-Love. All the stuff coming up.
Yeah, it's jam-packed, and it's jam-packed on purpose. It's going to be a lot of fun, and there's going to be a lot to discuss. But speaking of discussing, the club just dropped the convention brochure Friday night, and we're here Saturday night. Are you guys going? Have you been before? What's the deal?
I've never been to the con. I would love to go, but in all honesty, it's just a little too far outside my price range right now. If it was East Coast, somewhere close to home, I live in Jersey, I would love to go just to meet everybody and hang out with them. I unfortunately missed the Rhode Island one a year or two back, whatever it was, but I can't make the trip this year. I would love to, but I can't.
Same here. I've never been to a convention. They've actually come fairly close to me. It just wasn't in the cards for me at the time. Every year it kind of comes and goes. I don't really think about it until it's too late to really start saving to go. Someday, I think John Armia is going to come and club me and drag me to one, just so he can say that he got me there.
Yes.
He's going to keep pestering you and keep pestering you. Before you know it, you're engaged.
Honeymoon.
Let it be married to a movie superstar, John Armijo, and I'll be on Easy Street.
Jealous. Jealous.
I never made it to an actual JoeCon, and the same reason for just cost or just the time of year. I will be there. This will be number 7. We'll have one table set up for Joe Armory, and we'll be set up next to Joe Customs, hanging out all weekend. And to anybody who's never gone, I'd say, regardless of how you feel about the club, love him or hate him, I've come to find that the conventions are truly, truly about hanging out with your friends, that you only get to see once a year if you're lucky, and I've been to hundreds of conventions over the years, but the Joe conventions are the only ones that I truly, truly enjoy and look forward to going to every year.
Jeff?
2 words, and you can all join in. Holiday Road. Holiday Road. Nobody? Just you, man.
I don't sing outside the shower. I'm sorry.
Hey. Okay. Yes. It sounds like this is a road trip. That being said, what's up with no customizing class this year?
Yeah. That broke my heart. They basically replaced it with the Creo Group Diorama Challenge Contest. I'm not even sure what to call it. If you're into building figures, it's a great, this will be your first chance at getting a hold of some of those. But the customizing class was so awesome that I'm really disappointed there's not going to be any customizing content at the convention.
Wrong, sir.
What?
We are great.
Man, I set that up and you smacked it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I was curious about
club is going to fail the customizers, and the customizers are going to show the club how it's done.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't quite put that one on the club. That might have been Hasbro's doing.
Stupid is as stupid does.
We don't know the reasoning behind that yet.
Yeah.
I agree. However, all right, it's our job anyway, right?
It's what we're here for.
Exactly.
At the Joe Customs table, of course we'll have customs. We're trying to work with the club about doing some group diorama, but not for the contest. It's not about winning a prize, but just kind of put something out there. But we still got to hear back from Brian whether there's enough floor space for that. But we'll be right next to Joe Armory again. We're going to have a couple of customizing on-the-spot tutorials around the table. We're going to try to balance it around the schedule. You know, we don't want to be putting on something while the Hasbro panel is going on. We know that. So we'll choose times when we know people are walking around on the sales floor Saturday and Sunday. And if you can, stop by. It'll be awesome. Tell us who you are. You know, don't think we know you by your name or your face, because I don't. I'm sorry.
Hey, this is an aside, and I don't know if it needs to go in the podcast or not, but should we do some kind of call out to the members to see if they want to send us 25th or Real American Hero pieces, not only for the challenge we do?
The blind pull.
The blind
pull. How was it I threw you to a con and I got that before you?
Thanks, Billy.
Not only for the blind pull, but also just to have, like, buckets of parts for people to pull a custom together at our table. We don't want it to be like a free box where people are just taking shit. But if we just let everybody take one, you know, just, like, help yourself to one, build yourself a LBC right there, something like that. I don't know. What do you think?
They should go right next door and buy from joearmory.com's table.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
They don't have to buy it. I mean, in conventions past, I always open up the parts box, and anybody can come sit there and pick through and get whatever they want.
Hey, in that parts box, you wouldn't happen to have the generator cover to an 83 headquarters, would you?
Oh, don't ask him that. He doesn't know. He'd have to check his inventory, and then he'd have to go on Facebook and get everybody to identify it for him.
I got it. Dan, I should have just said something. I've got one for you.
Actually, yeah, I just got a collection in yesterday, and I did see one. So you have two now.
Well, I only need one, but thank you.
One more thing about the parts box is that the pay it forward box is now sitting at Nova's house. I would like to take bets on when Asphalt, who's next in line, is going to get it. I say 2014.
That's not good.
Sorry.
Now that you put it on the table, he'll probably get it out much slower than that.
He'll bring it to the con and give it to somebody else.
He'll sell it.
That's the free box right there.
I'm kidding, Brian.
I got one more convention thing I want to talk about, and then I have one final topic I'd like to talk about where I want everybody's opinion. The final convention thing I want to talk about, let's talk about and what we're going to do about that.
Who?
Did we forget that guy?
What I don't understand and what I can't fathom out of this whole situation is not making the effort to make it right, you know? And even worse, turning it back around on people saying that, you know, people are treating you unfairly. And I just...
Yeah, I think that's what makes the wound so brutally deep is that, you know, he kind of used his standing in the community, and then, you know, stuff happened to him, stuff didn't happen to him. I'm not sure at this point, because at some point you couldn't believe exactly what he was saying.
Right.
You know,
good. Remember when I nominated to be like a site ambassador once?
That's you may as well make Billy Carr an ambassador.
I'm just telling you, that's a true story.
I talked to him at the last convention, because I had tried to think, well, I did try to help Carl get his money back, so I actually called him when all that was going down. And for an hour, he just talked and talked and talked and talked, and I just listened to him. And we did manage to get $100 back to Carl. But so at the convention, he did say thanks to me for trying to help. But he said, besides me, that Ben Thomas, who's just basically a nice guy, was the only two people that talked to him from Joe Customs.
And the reason it's all coming up again, it's not like we're trying to bag on the guy just because the convention's around. Mirage Armor just came out saying that he's owed several hundred dollars from the last convention still.
$400.
Didn't heed all the warnings, and he paid for the guy's convention, essentially, and got screwed.
This, unfortunately, is a guy who has screwed over a lot of people in our field, and he seems to continue to be doing it. Even though you're not going to mention the name, there could be enough, like, insinuations there that people that know the situation will know what we're talking about.
Yeah. You might just want to put a general warning out there that if you're approached by somebody saying, give me money and I'll buy you a set, you may want to check their references first.
That's
good. Well, be careful, because Alyosha is out there right now saying he'll buy people sets.
Yeah, but I read that, and I had the same thought, but he's really upfront with his terms. Like,
true.
Yeah, you give me money.
Pay me upfront, and I want a percentage on top.
Yeah, he wants a 10%
or something. Which is fair, I think. You know, it's a... to stand in those lines.
Yeah.
And so, you know, time is money, and if someone's going to spend their time, then you should give them money.
If there's any advice I can give anybody who's thinking about attending the con, if you're buying your set, buy the extras, pay for another bag set, sell all that stuff, scalp the crap out of it, because it's the only way you're going to get your money back.
Scalper.
You know, I've never bought a bag set. That's stupid of me.
I never bought any of the figures.
I heard you laugh, zombie guy. I assume that means I'm a dumb guy.
Yep. Again, like you said, it's just it's an expensive trip, and anything you could do to recoup some of the costs, why not?
Now, I have a question, because I've never gone. Can you actually go and not buy the stuff?
Yeah,
you can just go to attend the con?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talks to Chiefy, that's what he did in New Orleans last year.
That's what I was saying earlier, it's not about the club. Regardless of how you feel, just like them, you go up, you pay the admission, you walk in, you hang out. Or if you know a dealer, you can get in on their dealer badge for free. It's not about the club at all, it's about what you make it.
You need a badge to get into the seminars, but for the sales floor and just hanging out, you don't need to pay for any of that. They do have a package where you get to attend everything, you just don't get any of the toys, but it's like $175 or something. It might be more. It's crazy. It's intended, the AIDS package, yeah.
No, I don't think I'd honestly put down the money for the box set and all the other... Because it always seems to be so overpriced for what it actually is. That's why I don't think I could ever actually do that. If it ever came to the New York area, I'd love to go just to hang out with everybody. But I don't think I'd be buying the club stuff.
Yeah, you get caught up in the moment, man. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
The next thing you know, you're, like, giving away guitar picks and asking Pila for a...
So wrong. Just a wink and a nod.
And I think for the most part, all the seminars are so repetitive at this point, you know, and I think all the fun takes place on the sales floor, just hanging out, and then after the con, hanging out.
Usually what I found with most, like, comic conventions, and even, like, the non-Joe toy conventions that I've gone to, I have more fun dealing with the people on the floor than sitting in on the panels.
They're extremely repetitive at this point. I mean, how many times have we seen Larry Hama?
Right.
There's just not a whole lot of celebrities and people that can get in, you know, that you haven't heard before.
It's going to be different because there's going to be a freaking Army Joe Viper walking all around.
Yeah.
Wait, excuse me. Let me pronounce it correctly. Army whore. Wait, did I say that right? Did I miss that?
You got to roll the R.
Army whore.
Right.
Army whore.
Roll the first R, not the second R?
Both.
The Hasbro panel is usually pretty good. You know, they try to lay out at least what they're trying to do as much as they can.
Yes, I can agree with that.
The club panel is good just so you can understand what they... I don't know how to put that.
Well, you get their point of view, but you also get a lot of bullshit.
I mean, you get the part where this is what went wrong, you know.
This year's convention set, like the actual figures?
That's next.
Before we get into this, let me just preface this. Dan brought it up that, you know, he didn't think the sets are worth the money for stuff that you're never going to see at retail. The club does one thing really well, and those are the exclusives. I've never been disappointed with the quality of their sets.
I think for me, I'm kind of in Dan's camp where I think it's too much money. I mean, there's like one or two figures like I really, really want, but the rest are kind of a pass for me, and that's what's kind of kept me from buying one. Like, I really wanted that Mission Brazil 2 dial tone. You know, I could go on eBay now and buy it for $150, but that's insanity.
You know, I certainly didn't want the whole set. And with the October Guard set, I certainly didn't want all the figures. I was very vocal about my complaints and my praise for that particular set.
Yeah, the IGs really weren't that impressive. The October Guard were pretty cool, but even so, I think there was like one figure that I actually thought was impressive enough to buy, and didn't want to plunk down $300-something for one figure and 14 that I didn't want.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't do it if I wasn't going. I mean, once you realize that you're paying for the attendance and all that other stuff, and that you're paying the same price, but just getting the toys if you stay at home, that doesn't make sense. Go in with a buddy and get the bag set.
My favorite part of last year was we picked up our box sets, went back to the room, and Hypno Hustler broke out his box set and started customizing Horror Show right there. He's like, this thing is a piece of crap. I'm going to fix it.
That's awesome.
He's right. It was a piece of crap. And it was one of the ones that I complained the loudest about because it was the one that everyone wanted. And it just was kind of terrible.
Vest and lower skirt combination looked terrible.
That head sculpt was good.
Yeah, that was about it, though.
That is true.
The funky legs with like the mismatched upper and lowers.
Yes.
Yeah, that was that figure, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the pictures that flooded the internet today.
Tell me what happened.
Some found the artist who's doing the concept art for the convention figures. They found their DeviantArt account, and they had all the concept images for the characters in the concept. I think it's posted in the thread. I can't remember for sure.
Yeah, it's on the site. They've been up on Joe Customs all afternoon anyway.
They showed up on his tank. Somebody found them on his tank, and then people have been doing screen caps all over the place trying to capture them because I guess a few places they've come down already.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. The big thing isn't that, you know, it shows some of the people from the set, but it shows some people that the characters haven't been revealed yet.
Somebody screwed up.
Like, apparently there's a female pilot based on the Scarlet figure that may or may not be some other exclusive we might see.
Oops.
My bad. Surprise.
Well, yeah, I was looking at some of the pictures. It looks like they have some of the Joe Trooper, the Retribution Joe Trooper parts on them.
Retribution?
The one figure, you can clearly see the torso. Oh, not Retribution, Retaliation. What the hell am I talking about? There's too many R things with Joe. You got Renegades, Retaliation, Resolute. They like the letter R in Hasbro for some reason.
Well, now the next one's going to be Retribution.
Yeah, see, we scooped them. It's Retribution. We scooped them right now.
I think it's, I mean, not altogether unsurprising, but I think it's interesting that they're delving in and using some of the movie figure pieces to make these figures.
That's good.
One little quick aside on these pictures. When I first saw them on the site today, they're all signed by Jimbo, and I hope I'm not outing him here on the podcast, but I was like, holy crap, Adrian Veidt is an incredible artist.
I did see that, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, nah.
Well, hey, kids, I'm going to roll out. So
wait, I got one more. I got one more. I want everyone's opinion on one question.
Uh-oh.
Lately, or I should say in the last couple of years, there's been a proliferation of Facebook customizing pages, all right?
Yes.
Our very own Chiefy has one, and it's fantastic. But at the same time, he posts a lot of stuff there that doesn't get onto the site. Now, I'm not calling him out by name or anything like that.
Fire.
But by the flip side, I've also found a lot of customizers who aren't part of Joe Customs who have awesome, you know, Facebook presence, Rat Pack and Sitfire, names that we know and stuff like that. So here's my question to you folks. The proliferation of Facebook customs pages, good or bad?
If it brings more exposure to our hobby, it's a good thing. I really honestly feel that because as far as collectors go, there's not as many of us as people seem to think there are, and there's even fewer customizers. So the more people that are actually, I guess, figuratively coming out of the closet about their hobby is a good thing for the hobby in general.
I kind of agree with Dan on one part of it, but as far as the community aspect, I say it's bad. And I think that's where kind of what Jeff was hinting around about. Also, I'd also like to point out that proliferation must be his word of the day calendar word. But I think that when you post customs on a Facebook page, it's cool if you know about the page and you can go and see it. But part of Joe Customs, and I'm sure it's the same at other places, I just don't care to go visit, is that it feels like a family, like an actual community. And when a person stops participating as much to do their own thing, it kind of
leaves a void, a noticeable void.
I think the answer nailed it.
Here's my take. If you're a customizer, it's a great way to get your stuff seen by more people or different people. That part I totally agree with. From a forum perspective, I think forums are on the decline. I think pretty soon you're going to see Facebook, Twitter. I think that's how socializing is starting to become. You don't need to know HTML to post pictures up on your Facebook page.
Agreed.
But the downside is a lot of people aren't like Chief organizing his customs by group or by date, you know. So it's not archived in a way that's easy for people who aren't there for the daily updates to catch what you're posting. And Facebook is now like charging for people to see your posts if you're part of a group, if you have too many people part of your group, if you have too many likes. It's crazy. So I think in the long run, I think a lot of people are going to get hurt. I don't know. Crosshair was doing like a year of beer. So every day or every week he was posting a new beer that he was trying, and all of a sudden a few months disappeared from his Facebook timeline.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I've heard of people complaining about their custom stuff too. You know, it just, Facebook's a very large, it's in some cases too large to be an active library at the same time.
Yeah, Facebook, I don't think it's going to be around in 10 years with the same presence that it has today. It's going to be replaced by something else. But I do think it is killing off forums in the meantime, and community.
It is the Walmart of forums.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. That's actually pretty accurate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go cry myself to bed now. I am.
Well, it was awesome to hear your voice. Although I know I'm going to hear your voice again in April, and you know I know that
every night,
you know, it's going to be. I'm kind of upset that you stole Sledge from us, but at the same time we got a P-Love in our room, and
oh boy,
and he snores.
No, I got a sleep machine. I sound like Darth Vader. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I know that you were busy doing Billy things on a Saturday night.
That's okay. I've been drinking this whole time. I'm good.
So any parting shots, Billy or John?
Well, thanks for having me. If you guys want a full rundown on the whole movie thing, feel free to let me know and I'll happily come back and tell you everything you want to know because I'm dying to share it.
Billy?
Who is this? Don't ever call me again.
wrong number.
Just going to be blocking all of our Skype addresses from now on.
No, I really appreciate you guys having me on. And Zombie Guy said earlier, you know, it's nice to be able, because I don't customize, it's not nice to be able to contribute in some way. You know, because Joe Customs has offered me a place to meet a bunch of people that I really have grown to care about, you know, a hobby that I absolutely love. So it's nice to be able to give back, if even in a small way.
You don't have a piano playing?
I'll put it in the back. He'll get some sad Hulk music going in the background.
Did you say sad Hulk music?
Hulk. Hulk. You know, from the TV show? Really looking forward to that Critics Corner from you guys. It should be good.
Yeah, I'll get to work on it. I'm running behind. But all right. Well, nice to meet Dan and Brad, and hopefully meet you guys one day.
Hopefully. Yeah. Agreed. Thanks, John.
Yeah,
all right, take care. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Until next episode, keep your brushes up, and see you guys around. Countdown has begun.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero. We'll be right back.
Brushes up and I don't know, something. Good night.